Hi, I'm Ted Balick with Reason TV. Today I'll be speaking with Tom Campbell. He's been a Stanford professor, a California state senator, and a U.S. congressman. Now Campbell is running to succeed Arnold Schwarzenegger as governor of the fiscally floundering Golden State. Let's dive right in with the question about just your general political outlook. How would you describe that?
Less government, more freedom, individual liberty.
And so you're pretty comfortable using the L word, libertarian.
I feel very comfortable with it. I am a Republican. I'm a proud member of the Republican Party, but I have a lot of libertarian supporters. And what it fundamentally means is that you believe that individuals should control as much of their lives as possible, and that government should be restricted to what is essential, and otherwise leave people alone.
What do you think of Prop 8?
I thought it was a mistake. I think that people should be allowed to marry whether they're gay or straight. I believe in liberty.
If you live in California long enough, it seems like it's an every year occurrence. We're perpetually in some budget crisis. What can we do to release ourselves from the grip of this perpetual crisis?
What I would favor is to go back to a system that we had in California from roughly 1975, 76, I think, until 1989, whereby by the Constitution you couldn't spend more than the previous year adjusted for inflation and population. And if the revenue came in above that, you'd send checks back to the taxpayers. That happened once. Governor Duke Majan was governor, and he actually ordered rebate checks sent to California taxpayers. And then going a little bit more, creating a reserve fund so that if you have a growth of revenue above, let's say, the previous 10-year average, it would have to go into a reserve fund where it would earn interest and then be available for the downturn. And lastly, a very simple but really, really effective program. It'll take a few years, however, to set up, would be that you don't actually spend this year's money. You collect the taxes in 1 year, let it earn interest, and you then spend it the next year. That has two very beneficial effects. One is everyone knows how much money there is to spend. Because right now you spend what you think you're going to have, and everybody's optimistic. You know, I think we're going to get out of this recession immediately, so let's not cut so much. No, here's exactly how much money we have. And secondly, when there's a downturn, you see it coming a year ahead of time.
You have political leaders in California saying things like the budget has been cut to the bone, and that doesn't really pass the laugh test. I mean, I'm sure you're familiar with the California Performance Review. They outlined, you know, it's a phone book thick document showing here's how to eliminate waste, here's how to cut spending, and yet it's been practically ignored.
There's no question about that. Or another way of looking at it is if you compare us with other states, we were far above the average on Medicaid. We call it Medi-Cal, but for many years we had opted into every additional medical procedure because the federal government said we'll pay 50%. Well, that's good from a fiscal point of view, but you're still stuck paying the other 50%. Or welfare. We were allowing welfare to go without the work requirements that the federal government imposed as their condition, far more leniently.
When it's discussed, you know, how did we get here? Some people say they point to things like Prop 13. Is Prop 13 to blame?
Absolutely not. Prop 13 provides a limitation on how much taxes can go up, and it affords an assurance for those employers who are thinking about building a plant, a factory, and a warehouse in the state of California, that they won't have the value of that piece of property reassessed as soon as they have sunk their foundation, as soon as they've poured their concrete. It's one of the few attractions that I used to be able to refer to as finance director of the state to keep business, to keep jobs in California. So when Prop 13 went into effect, it did have the effect immediately of limiting the amount of revenue that was coming in from real estate. But we have now had 30 years, and almost every piece of property has changed hands. And so the lagging effect has now been largely overcome.
Rahm Emanuel famously said, you should never waste a good crisis. And for a lot of libertarian types, you know, we run frightened when we hear things like that, remembering all the things that politicians have done in times of crisis. But especially for California politics, is this a moment we can seize on this crisis in the opposite way that Emanuel means, so that we can really come up with some innovative ways to pare back government?
Let me say that you really have to be an optimist to believe so, but let's be optimistic. This would be the time to ask in every category do we need government to do this? Could we rely on private enterprise to do this?
What about legalizing marijuana and taxing it?
I think it's the wrong time to put that forward and the wrong way to put that forward. You shouldn't be arguing that as a financial solution because it suggests that you're only doing it for the money. I think that it deserves very careful attention, very careful analysis of what it would do to crime rate. There's very interesting evidence from Europe about dropping crime rate rather than increasing it, dropping drug use rather than increasing it. If it's the right thing to do, we should do it, whether it brings revenue or not.
Are there any differences in terms of political culture, Sacramento versus Washington, D.C.?
The fundamental difference, which pervades virtually everything fiscally in Washington, is that you can print money. You just increase the debt ceiling, print the money. Inflation will happen sometime, not on my watch, maybe. I mean, that attitude, believe me, is pervasive. Best proof I can give you is the run-up in expenditures based on printed money from last summer. Start with President Bush, so it's not purely President Obama either, with the $160 billion of tax stimulus rebate money, which was going to get us out of the recession.
It seems so small and quaint now.
Doesn't it? Quaint is a good word. Then we went to $350 billion under President Bush in TARP money, the first half of the TARP. And we got the second half of the TARP money under President Obama. And we got $280 billion more for a further bailout of Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. Then we got the $789 billion stimulus money. Then we got the Federal Reserve announcing that it was going to spend $1 trillion of printed money to recapitalize the banks. Well, you can only do that if you have the printing press. And what appears to be the case, and I hope I'm wrong, but appears to be the case is that we have built up a tailwind for inflation, which will be a hurricane as soon as the economy begins to recover. And the Federal Reserve Board says, don't worry, we'll take the money out at exactly the right time so it won't be inflationary. But think that through for a minute. How do you take the money out of the system? You tell banks not to lend. You tell banks to increase their interest rates. You require higher reserve requirements at banks. In other words, you bring on the second recession.
Milton Friedman was your PhD advisor at the University of Chicago. What was it like studying under Milton Friedman?
Well, he was remarkable. He was bigger than life even before he won the Nobel Prize. And when I was his student, I remember he had he resigned from President Richard Nixon's Council of Economic Advisors, or unofficial council. I think it might have been a kitchen cabinet of economists, because President Nixon imposed wage and price controls. And that said a lot about him. You would have thought, my gosh, being kitchen cabinet of the president, being invited to Washington regularly, I don't want to give that up. He did, because he was convinced President Nixon was interfering with the free market in imposing wage and price controls.
If he were around today, what would he say about the current crisis?
I think he would say, don't just do something, stand there. Be careful about doing something just for the sake of being perceived to do something. And that, of course, is what the political environment conditions us. I'm going to be elected and do something. Whereas it may be that the best thing to do is to let the economy recover in the 2 years, 10 months, or faster than it normally would. And in this particular case, the doing something that would trouble him, I'm convinced, is printing money. So we're showing that we are doing something, but we're running a very serious risk of inflation.
Don't you know by now? You